In this episode, I muse about how my horses and I navigate our feelings of wanting to do things together or not. So I'll share some of my stories of my horses and hopefully leave you feeling just a little more free. So here we go, episode 247, Wanting To. Hi, I'm Karen Rolfe, and welcome to Horse Training in Harmony. This podcast is about you making progress with your horse in a way that you both can love. It's about learning how to move and be in harmony. Because yes, you really can develop a horse to be both athletic and happy. When we show up as our best selves for our horses will show up for us. So, let's get started. As my relationship with my horses evolves and my goals evolve, I find it harder and harder to really explain like what the way is. And as a teacher, that kind of drives me crazy because I really want to help explain what I'm doing and share what I know. But maybe that's the most realistic way to help other people is to not claim to know exactly step 1, 2, 3, 4, what needs to happen, but to give you some possibilities and maybe just share how I am with my horses. And if that matches your picture, hopefully it'll be helpful. But it's so easy as a professional to think, oh, it has to be perfect, or to present a certain way and give an image to students of like the showing you the good moments, the amazing moments, and there's some air quotes around those words, but showing you what I think you want to see and letting you imagine that that's always what it is. And I feel that pressure, sort of. I'm letting myself off the hook a little bit because as I'm really diving into this and really enjoying my horses at home all by myself in these beautiful private moments, I'm realizing that the moments that they're not doing the things that I am imagining that other people expect to see from me, like those moments are just as valuable. They're absolutely just as valuable. And that's what I want to talk about today and what I try to talk about on this podcast in general. But it's in the front of my mind today for this podcast. So sometimes my horses, well, let me paint a little picture. I have the property, the barn is in the middle of the main property, and then there's some pastures around the edges. And in the mornings, everybody gets loose into the main area, and the barn is open, and horses can come and go and kind of do what they want. So we feed them, and they're out doing whatever they want to do, wherever they want to be. And then I start playing with them. Now, sometimes all the horses are in the barn competing for my attention. And they kind of, sometimes they all come in together. Sometimes it's in this beautiful cycle. Sometimes that matches with my picture of who I wanted to ride first, second, third, or not, or play with. And more, I just kind of flow with what is showing up and who is showing up. And I'm always paying attention to how eagerly or not they come in. And this may or may not adjust my plan, right? So if the horses are there presenting themselves like, hey, I'm looking for attention, I might give them attention. I might go, oh, you want to go first? Or I might go, eh, I have these particular reasons why I'd really like to ride this other one. Hello, what do you want? Give you scratches, play with you, let you do some tricks. And then, okay, I'll talk to you later. And if I have to go get a horse, or even if I send my assistant out to get a horse, I'm really paying attention to how eagerly or not they come in. It's a data point. But it doesn't always mean that if they're a little hesitant to come in, that I go, oh my gosh, I'm over threshold. They don't like me. They don't want to be ridden. So I have to be careful not to just jump to that. This way, just be open. Just be open in the focus and kind of take the whole picture in. And I have to think about what my last few days have been like. And there's times when I go, okay, I've been pushing a lot, or it's been a little bit too consistent for this horse. Now he's a little bored, same old, same old. And I might say, okay, when I bring him in, let me do something else today. Let me do something fun for them. But sometimes I won't. Sometimes I'll say, all right, I get it. I've had an up-leveling focus. So a focus of like, I'm trying to take something to the next level, which is inherently going to be a little more challenging than not doing that. And I might go, okay, I've got to really make sure this horse feels successful in the exact thing that I was playing with the last couple days. And so I definitely want him to come in. I'm like, I get it. It's hard. You're not feeling successful. That wasn't easy. I need you to come in so that today we can be successful doing that same exact thing. So making sure I don't leave that difficult day hanging. And I cannot emphasize that enough. Never leave the difficult thing hanging. I mean, unless it's so far gone that you just like cut your losses and go, whoops, shouldn't have gone there, and leave it alone. Sometimes you have to do that. But as far as normal training progress, if there's some sort of difficult thing, revisit it the next day. You might revisit it in a way that you make that particular thing as easy as possible for them to be successful. Some version of it, let them come out and be like, nailed it, right? Let them be successful easily. And then after you get that moment, then leave it for a bit, maybe even quite a bit. You might be really amazed at how readily it's offered next time you revisit it. All right, so you go to get your horse. Yours is like, don't really want to come in. Maybe they walk away a little bit. Maybe they run away. Maybe they're just dragging in. Maybe you see them keep looking over their shoulder. So definitely pay attention to that. But be careful as a, you know, as if heart-centered horseman to heart-centered horseman speaking to here, be careful you don't just default to go, oh, they hate me. Right? Sometimes you have to think a little bit and think about the bigger picture. Now, back in the day of my early horse training professional years, it was sort of normal that if you were training, and then you give the horse some time off, they would always come back worse, right? Oh, it takes me a week to get them back going again. And what's really interesting is nowadays, the way I do things now, I find my horses come back better, like every single time. And I try not to use the like every, always, never, but like that would be the norm, that if they rest, they come back better. And that's where even if they have an injury or some reason why I can't, you know, ride them or train them normally, I'm sad about their injury, but there's a part of me in the back of my mind goes, oh, they're going to come back even better because they've had some time to digest it. Now, this might not be true with things that require coordination, right? Coordination needs to kind of be gotten back going again. Stamina and strength can be lost. But the understanding and the eagerness can be there plus more. And that's what happens when the horses really understand what they need to do. They feel the benefit of it, or it's fun, or they simply enjoyed the feeling of being successful. It was a challenge. It was a puzzle. I got it. Nailed it. Woohoo. I don't know why, but my partner is really happy about this. I think when they get to experience partnership, they love it when we are happy with them. I'll just put that out there. I don't know what they're really thinking, but it seems to be that they can't wait to like offer it when they give a chance. So the other day, normal day, went out to get Ovation, and I often will bring them in at Liberty. So we just go connect with them out in the pasture, be like, hey, want to come in? And most of the time, they'll walk in and follow me back to the barn. But then the other day, I did that with Ovation, and he came and said hello, and then I was like, hey, do you want to come in? And he actually turned away. I'm like, okay. All right, well, but how about now? You know, give him some scratches, say hello to him, like, hey, you want to come in now? And he started to walk back to the barn with me and then got really close. And then he turned back around and like trotted out to the pasture. I'm like, okay. Oh. So he trotted out to the pasture, and I'm watch him trot out there. And now there's a little moment, right? So this is one of those moments, like, what do you do? And there's so many possibilities for what you could do and what you could feel. And some trainers would be like, hey, don't let him rehearse that. Like, don't let him get away with that, right? So there's that one thought of like, oh, don't let him get away with that. And I'm thinking, yeah, okay, if I asked him to come in and I was actively saying, hey, come here, and he did that, yeah, that would be nice. But I might not think let him get away with that. I'm thinking, wow, I'm so sorry he feels that way. Right. And so this is all also in the context of what horse it is. Like, what's the vibe of the horse? What's your history with the horse? You know, but I don't have a lot of hard and fast rules. I want to give that space where the horse can tell me. And again, in the context of it's my place, I'm by myself. I'm not at a training stable where him running away from the barn back to the pasture is a dangerous thing. So I know I have a lot of luxury around that. So you can hear this and then find the version that works for you. Now you can have a horse on a halter and a lead, and you can still know when they're like, okay, if the halter wasn't on, they'd be gone. Right? If you give them some room to tell you, and you can tell these things whether or not they have a halter on. But I'm watching him trot back out, and I'm thinking, okay, what should I do? And it's been a great week. Like, we've had really good days. So like the riding was going well. We weren't particularly up leveling. In fact, he was being like the perfect little schoolmaster. So I'm thinking, all right, I don't need to ride him today. It's like, I could get on him and go out on the trails, or I could. So I'm kind of weighing this and like, all right, let me go back out. So I went out to Ovation and I kind of called him, and he actually turned around and trotted back up to me. I'm like, awesome. This is great. So I gave him a little cookie. And then I thought, you know, instead of just going to the barn where he's going to be imagining, and maybe he doesn't want to do dressage today, which is fine. He didn't need to. And there's nothing important about that today. So I thought, well, let me just walk with him to the round pen. And he usually likes to start round pens, like to just lay down. So I'm like, well, let me just blow his mind. Let me walk him past the barn, go to the round pen, and we'll hang out and take a little nap together. And so that's what we did. And he laid down and he rolled and he got cookies and we just hung out there for a little bit. And I thought, well, that's really cool. Let me bring him back into the barn and brush him off, and that'll be that. And so we go to leave the round pen, and he like bucks it out of the round pen. I'm like, okay, Ovation, message received. So again, I don't think that's a good habit to have horses like bursting through gates. That's not typical of him. I didn't see it coming, so I didn't even get a chance to like connect and make sure that that didn't happen. But I'm like, okay, I get the message. Went back out to the pasture, reconnected with him for a minute, and then he followed me up to the barn, and we went in the grooming stall, and I just did the beamer, and we did a little soft touch body work kind of stuff, and then I let him play with his toys, and he was happy, and then he hung out in the barn for a while, and then I sent him back out when I was done. So it was just an interesting thing, but it's, you know, it's not like, you can't take it personally, but you've got to look and go, huh, I wonder what this is. And so then whenever something like that happens and you're presented with something and then you make some choices and then you do something about it, fine, try it. We don't know. And then I pay attention to what's the next day going to be. And the next day he came into the barn all by himself and I groomed him, tacked him up. He dove into the bridle and we went out and had our normal ride. So I'm not going to try to guess what was going on with him that day. It just was what was going on with him that day. And I think the best thing to do is not to start fighting with him, not to start feeling horrible about it. Just like, okay, that happened. I made some choices and tomorrow's another day. And that happened the other day with Cora. Well, she was way out in far pasture, and so I go out and connect with her and start playing at liberty with her. She's, you know, offering to do backup. She's doing little circles around me. And then she actually starts she's doing canter circles around me of like fairly large, like, I don't know, 30, 40 meter circles, like the kind of, she's cantering. I'm like, is she running off? And then it's like, oh no, she's turning around me and coming back in. And it was just super fun. And I'm sort of traveling back to the barn and she's playing around me and circling and coming back in and circling and coming back in. It was all super fun. And then at one point she runs off. And you can feel that sinking feeling. Oh, she left me at Liberty. But then I watched her and she ran away from me to the barn, ducked under the stall guard to get in. She keeps popping the screw eyes out. But anyway, she ducked under the thing, gets into the barn, and she's waiting for me in the grooming stall. By the time I walked up, she was just standing there exactly where I would have brought her if she had stayed with me. So again, in the whole big picture, is it wrong that she ran away from me? I mean, I guess if I wanted to have her quote unquote perfect at Liberty and do demonstrations and be able to, you know, cross busy highways at Liberty. But I also think it's kind of cool that she's like, yay, here's the part where I go to the barn. And then, you know, groomed her and tacked her up and off we went and had a lovely ride. So there's so much that we can do about our expectations or our defining or interpretation of what's happening. And I know that these descriptions sound slightly chaotic and undisciplined. Maybe they are, but it's also part of the life that I want to have with my horses. Most of the time, I really don't need them to do much for me. There's stuff that I'd like them to do for me. And of course, we need to have some rules. So with, every horse needs to have the basics, like stop, back up, get away from me, yield here, yield there. And if by allowing them to have these moments to express what they want to do and to, you know, go where they want to go, if in doing that, like, I still want to feel like, but if I ask you, it needs to happen. Like if you're walking out of the barn and I put my hand on your chest, I'd like you to feel that as a communication and stop. And so every now and then we have to have a review of that. Like there's a big difference between, oh, I see you want to go over there and I'm going to allow you to go over there versus I see you going over there. I'm asking you to stop and you're ignoring that request. So I don't want my requests to be ignored. So often what happens is in the moment where they're offering something that I might not have thought I wanted. So like in the moment when Ovation is running out of the round pen back to the pasture, I actually wasn't paying attention. I opened the gate and I went and picked up I don't know, I like looked away from him and he just took off. Like, okay, that's not ideal. That's what he was thinking. But it's not like I was saying, hey, ho, wait, yield, you know, something like that. If I'd been doing that, then I would have gotten him and we would have gone back and we would have reviewed our communication because we're having a conversation here. So I think this is really, really important point as I tell these stories of freedom, that I'm very, very aware of what was happening in the moment that there was this divergence. And like I said, there's a big difference when I'm just going, go do what you want. And hey, like Cora, like, isn't that cool that she's offering to do these big cantering circles at Liberty? Like, I didn't ask for that, but she was doing it and I was joining her in it. And then she changed her mind and offered to do something else. That's hugely different than I am giving you a cue for circling at the canter and now you're ignoring my cue. So, and even in that case, they're not wrong. It just means I have to fix my training. So I think I can split those hairs and I think it's interesting to split those hairs. So I guess as I'm talking about this freedom, I'm picturing someone who might have a horse where there's not communication and there's not boundaries and there's not enough understanding. You're asking the horse to do one thing and they do something else. And you're like, but Karen said that's okay. And it's more nuanced than that. Anyway, so this idea of the horses also offering stuff, there's going to be these moments where cool stuff is happening. And it's because they're just offering it. It's not something I asked for. Like, I'm not saying, hey, all my horses need to be paying attention to me in the barn in the morning. Like, I don't ask for that. But that happens a lot. They're in there. They're all trying to, like, get my attention. And they're doing their tricks. And each one's trying to, you know, get more attention from me than the next. That's cool. But it's not something I'm demanding. And so I've played with this with... I've played with this a little bit more, and I just posted a video in the video classroom with my horse Teo, who, you know, was given to me, or I took him right before he was going to be put down for dangerous behavior issues, and I just, you know, I have the stories about Teo in the classroom, but he was doing things for me. He was nice. I could ride him, but I just got the feeling he really didn't want to be told what to do. And from a deep place that, given his history, I really feel like I wanted honor. And so as time's gone by with Teo, I'm experimenting with, like, me breaking my habit of saying, you need to do this. And it's a difference between, like, leading him sometimes, he'll still hit the brakes going into the barn or out of the barn, through a gate, in or out. And there's just times he gets stuck. And you can put pressure on the lead. He understands that. We've taught him that. I can put pressure behind him. He understands it. But it still is not, you just get the feeling he doesn't want to be in that scenario. So he'll be stuck. But if I've taught him to, like, touch my hand, a little fist bump with his nose. So I put my fist out and I go, touch, and he'll walk forward to touch my fist. So it's just different. So I just know that there is an association with methods from the past that he's just done with. And that gives me an opportunity to do things differently. So he's an experiment. But I made this video of me playing at liberty with him. And I have two requests for him at liberty. One is to back up, because he can be weird and kind of come in a little bit intensely. And one is go, which just means go move. Go anywhere you want, just go. And so I think those are pretty, you know, fair requests. If he's facing me and I put my hands up and say back, I want him to back up. And, you know, if I just go, it means I'm coming into the piece of real estate where he is, and he needs to exit that piece of real estate. Other than that, he's got a lot of options. So just don't be here. And so I'll set up whatever space we're in. I'll set up some what I call things. And he's learned to do lots of things, like jumping over the jump is a thing. Going around the barrel is a thing. Putting his feet in the rubber tub is a thing. Circling around me, you know, close circling around me is a thing. Cavaletti pulls is a thing. So over the time, I've taught him lots of obstacle things. Like, there's a thing, go do the thing on the thing. So then I go out at liberty and I just say, go, go do something. And then I reward him when he does something that could be called a thing, right? If it looks conscious and on purpose. And it's really kind of cool to see what he offers. And so in this video, you'll see me saying go. And then he lays down and takes a nap and just starts dreaming. So that's something. So he does that. And then he sits up and he, you know, that's a thing. So I reward him for that. And then he lays back down flat and I reward him for that. And then eventually he gets up. And then he puts his feet in the bucket and I reward him for that. And then I tell him to go. And then he ends up doing things like going around the barrels, going over the cavaletti poles, doing the jump. He invented something where he goes through the cavalettis on a circle in front of me. And we do this half hour session. I never asked him to do anything. He got to choose what he wanted to do. And it sort of made me wonder, like, is that valid? Is it valid if they're offering to do stuff, but it's all their idea? And I was sort of thinking and feeling how in some ways I'm like, either that's really, really cool, or someone could be like, well, that doesn't count because it's not like cue response. So is the measure of horse training success the ability to get your horse to do stuff no matter what they think about it? Is it only valid if I asked for it? And I can feel the very old story kind of pulling on that string in my brain. Hey, I just wanted to take a quick second to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by the Dressage Naturally video classroom. Yeah, that's my program. So if you love this podcast, you will really love the video classroom. It's where you can see me coaching students, narrating my rides on horses, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and so much more. So let's see all these words put into action. Check it out with a 1 week free trial, and then it's just $29 a month after that. So even if you only watch one video a month, it is totally worth it. And we add new content every month. So what are you waiting for? Go to dressagenaturally.net/classroom. Okay, now let's get back to the pod. So I play with this idea, and the idea of, you know, does it always have to be the case that my ideas are better than their ideas, or that their ideas don't count unless I agree with them? And why can't I join them in their ideas and appreciate the things that they're doing? I mean, he's not running around looking outside the round pen, zigging and zagging and trying to get out of there. Every time I sent him off, you can see him go find something to do. And this is actually, it's turned into a kind of cool technique, and it's really good for horses who normally aren't motivated to do things. So you can use it to kind of teach an uncreative or unenthusiastic horse to start thinking of doing something. And if you have a horse that does have a huge play drive, well, they're going to thank you. They're like, oh my God, this is like a dream come true for them. And again, the one kind of horse that this idea would not be helpful with is a horse that's anxious. It's like running around in the round pen, looking out, going, I have no idea what to do. And they might feel lost. Some horses get nervous when they don't know what to do, you know, or a horse where you don't have any communication. Like, I feel like with Teo, I have enough communication that I could interrupt something and stop it or call him in. So anyway, you can watch that video. It's, I think, super interesting to play with. So I have moments like that with my horses where I'm just like, you offer me everything. Do what you want to do. Show me what you want to do. How much can we do? You know, show me everything. And then there's other times when I really, really, really need to be precise. And Ovation is a really good example of that. I have to be precise that we need, because of his personality, if he, you know, that difference I said earlier of that difference between giving him openness to have options versus I asked you for something and you're going to ignore that and do the opposite. For Ovation's personality, I need to make sure, like, you can have a lot of playtime. He's a very playful horse. You can have, and he's very strong-willed, but like in a good way. He's like, I mean, he's almost 23 and he's like strong. He's on it. Like, he is so mentally, emotionally, physically, you're like resilient. And so part of that often comes with a personality of like, I have an idea and I'm going to do it. But I have to really make sure that, like, if I ask him something, like, I need it. I just, especially with the basics, like, if I put my hand on your chest and say ho, like, you need to stop. If I ask you to move over, you need to move over. And it doesn't have to be harsh. I just need to keep that in balance. Because, yeah, he needs to know, like, when he can have free choice and when he can't. And that's actually more on me. And it's really easy for me to go, oh, you know, oh, well. I'll let it slide this time. But with Ovation, that leads to not a harmonious partnership. And so that's, again, it gets tricky. Like, which horse needs what when? And to not just have such a rigid set of rules that you're not letting your horses express their full personality the way they could if they had a little bit more wiggle room and a little more freedom. Now, with riding, for Ovation to maintain his sweet spot of collected balance, I need to be way more disciplined in my practice, way more precise with him on a daily basis or every time I ride him in that way than is my nature. I'm like, get free and then we'll organize it. But I've learned over time, it's taken me a long time, but the fastest way for both of us to be happy and light and harmonious and healthy and for him to be powerful and, you know, be able to be successful doing his dressage stuff is for me to be really precise, really disciplined every single time. That structure gets us in the place where then the lightness and the freedom shows up and we can do the movements from there. So I guess the point is, like, with Ovation, my perception and my personality often are the thing that gets in the way of our success when it comes to dressage, right? So being, quote unquote, a little stricter with him in regards to dressage always leads to more success and happier participation and, dare I say, a sense of pride coming from him. And I have to remind myself every time of like, don't let him cut the corner like that. That's going to come back and bite us both in the butt and it's not fair to him. So we always have horses that bring out the sides of us that we need to develop. And so that is there with Ovation, where that might not be as true with another horse. And with Ovation, I balance our life with, well, number one, he gets a lot of opportunities to tell me what he wants to do. But then I bring him into the round pen, we take naps together, and I balance it out with other things that I know he really likes. Like his favorite thing, interaction with me, is to bring me his toys. So happy day for Ovation as I throw his toys all over the barn aisle, and he picks them up and brings them to me. When I play catch, or when my other horses are playing catch with the ball, he doesn't throw the ball, but if it goes out of bounds, I'll send Ovation, he'll pick it up, he'll bring it back to me. So that, he can do that for a long time. I don't think I've gotten to the limit of how long he'll do that for, because I always quit first. He will pick up his food dish and bring it to me to put a little treat in it for a long time. So what is the picture? Like, what is the answer? Is it about being strict? Is it about giving choice? Is it about listening and honoring what they're telling you? Or is it about following through and changing their minds? Yeah, it's all of those things. So let me just paint a picture of life in the Temenos. Here's what my horses do. They hang around the barn when I'm out there, except for when they don't. They dive into their bridles when tacking up, except for when they don't. They follow me in from the pasture when I want to play with them, except for when they don't. And they offer energy and even some really good choices when I play with them or ride them, except for when they don't. They melt under my touch when I do body work, except for when they don't. And they offer their silly tricks to get attention and treats, except for when they don't. And me, I am focused and calm, except for when I'm not. I am clear and patient, except for when I'm not. I am balanced and precise, except for when I'm not. I'm imaginative and perceptive, except for when I'm not. I'm energetic and motivated, except for when I'm not. And I get it right a lot, except for when I don't. And I have endless time, except for when I don't. And so my horses and I mingle in these moments. Their moods resonate with or bump up against mine. Their needs and my desires walk around the room, eyeing each other, wondering if today they'll be able to dance together. Sometimes I get to be adamant about what I need my horses to do, and I go there sparingly, consciously, strategically. And sometimes they get to be adamant about what they need and want. In those moments, I pay attention and listen closely, and I think about it a lot. And sometimes I don't. I just flow with what's happening, knowing it's all perfectly okay, and it's just another gloriously interesting day on planet Earth. And tomorrow, I get to do it again. Sometimes I question what my goals even are. Why do the horses need to do anything for me? Do I even want to ask them to do stuff? And that's definitely evolving, which makes things sometimes confusing, but the fun kind of confusing, where I know there's something really cool percolating. Often in that space where I stop asking them for my ideas, I see the things that I taught them being freely offered, eagerly and often. And I'm doing my best to train all the things that I want to train in the way that I train those things that are being freely and eagerly offered. Those things are usually clear, distinct, not maintained for long periods of time. They're things that I've praised a lot and rewarded well. And mostly that I've been really, really happy about. I mean, like happy in the giggly kind of happy way, but also in the deeply warm, fuzzy kind of happy way. So what does it look like, me and my horses? Sometimes my horses and I are doing a lot. Sometimes we're laughing a lot. And yeah, I think that they laugh too. Sometimes we're sharing deep connections and we do big athletic stuff. Sometimes we walk away from each other. Sometimes we run to see each other. Sometimes they confuse me, and sometimes I confuse them, even though I really try not to. Sometimes we try and we try and we try before we finally get it. And sometimes they just do things as if they've been reading my mind. And you know, it's all okay. It's all amazing. And it's all the fun part, because we're here to get to do it. I guess the point is to give some space for all these moments to blossom. Change your routine every now and then, just for fun. Just to enliven the nervous system and your senses, and give room for something new to occur. Give room to feel more. Give room to evaluate and reevaluate your expectations. Give room to evaluate and reevaluate how you're walking towards those expectations and goals. But most of all, just remember to enjoy the moment, however it shows up. If this episode resonates with you, make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. Training horses is a long game. The more you listen, the more pieces of the puzzle you'll have. To see all your learning resources, visit dressagenaturally.net. That's where you'll find free videos, online courses, my book. You can sign up for my Wednesday Wisdom email or even book a private consult. Most of all, remember, you got this. Never underestimate the possibility for things to improve in ways you cannot yet imagine. Till next time, love your horse, move in harmony, and enjoy the process.